This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Yes, you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with myself and Macca Tass. With myself, Tass, and Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Our next guest is Peter Khalil. Peter is the federal member for the seat of Wills, representing the Australian Labor Party, seat previously held by Bob Hawke, Phil Cleary, and I'm sorry, who was your predecessor, Peter?
Good morning, guys. It was Kelvin Thompson.
Kelvin Thompson. I probably unfairly described him as looking a bit like David White with more hair.
He's lost all his hair now, so he probably looks like David's twin.
He does.
Peter, great to have you on the airwaves. I'm not sure that we've had you on this show before.
No, we haven't. And
so
no,
welcome aboard. And hopefully we can have many more conversations on air with you. We're interested in your reflections. Obviously, you're in Canberra last week as part of Parliament sitting. So give us a sense of what the mood was like. What was the mood in the corridors of Parliament like?
Well, usually it's febrile. If listeners, that word is a kind of a common word used about the
febrile.
Mood.
Febrile.
You know, this kind of everyone's on edge type feeling. Things are happening very quickly type feeling, very stressful type feeling. And then particularly more so last week because of this sort of astounding situation with Facebook, but also I think more importantly in some respects the horrible situation with respect to the crime that, or the alleged crime that occurred a couple of years ago at the Parliament House workplace. And so everyone was feeling a really, I mean, and I'm not just talking about the politicians here, talking to journalists and people that work there, particularly women, felt very, well, worse than febrile, very, very uncomfortable, very disappointed, upset. So there was a lot of that during the course of the week. People were feeling, I think the other word I could use is discombobulated. I'm coming up with all the big words this morning. I don't know. I've had my coffee, so I think I don't have a thesaurus in front of me. I know it's late. I'm not cheating, I promise.
I think febrile's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I think it probably characterises how we feel about it as well in the community.
And I think, Peter, you know, Parliament House, look, I've spent some time there over the years. It's a very unusual, unique environment. I always was amused when, you know, I was lucky enough most of the times there to have an unescorted pass and you'd be wandering around the corridors and you'd see members of Parliament and others and you know, you'd... Even if they didn't know you, you'd get a little nod, but you know they're thinking, who's that person? Why have they...
Well, they didn't recognise you?
Well, I know. How could you imagine that? But who is that person? Oh, they've got an unescorted pass, you know, whatever. But it's the working relationships that are there. Every office, and I mean, you know, you have staff. You know, you have colleagues that have staff. And, you know, loyalty and honesty and... You know, a really hard work ethic is so much a part of those offices. But it's a pretty surreal environment, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah, it's 4,000 or 5,000 people work in the Parliament House building. They're all crammed in there the entire week. It is very unusual, very unique. And, I came to politics quite late. I spent 20 years in different careers in the private sector and in the public sector and worked in New York and places around the world, and it is a very, very different workplace. It's very unique in that respect. And it is problematic as well because of the culture that exists there and whether it's the culture that we're sort of grappling with now, which is this idea that, you know, you have to have a safe workplace. I mean, if this kind of thing happened, you know, with the alleged crime in any other workplace, there are practices, procedures in place for a proper complaints mechanism, for referral to the the police or the law enforcement, a culture where it's not just that it's unacceptable, but one in which you, as a leader, you make sure that people are working in a safe workplace. Mm. And it wasn't always the case in the corporate world. You guys know that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Something that has evolved over time. But I think in politics it's catching up. And, you know, and I don't think you need to be a husband or a father or, and I'm sorry to get a bit partisan about this because I know Morrison said this, or to somehow, you know, think of your sister or your mum or whatever to empathise with women. Like, your leadership means that you have to, as a red line, ensure that it's a safe workplace for women in what they go about and doing their jobs, and that there should be structures in place to make sure of that. You don't have to suddenly try and empathise through that process. I think that's unacceptable. So I think the culture has to change. It has been a very blokey place. It has changed, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years that I've been there. I've seen a lot more change. It's still a very monocultural place, so as far as diversity goes. I'm one of the few people who's non-Anglo, non-European, as a Egyptian Australian. So it in many respects, it's catching up to a lot of other parts of what we think is normal in Australia, or has become the norm.
Peter, give us some of your reflections, given that you were in Canberra and you were at Parliament House and you probably, you know, saw some of the discussion firsthand. Give us your reflections on the government's handling of this case. You know, the Brittany Higgins case, of course. Just give us your reflections. How would you describe it?
Well, I'm going to be straight up with you guys. I was incredulous. It was like beyond...
Another word?
That, another big word. I was kind of shocked, but also just could not believe that with something as serious as this, it wasn't reported to the Prime Minister's office and to the Prime Minister directly. Now, Linda Reynolds, who's the Defence Minister, who is the employer of Brittany Higgins, said that she did not pass this on because it was about Brittany's privacy. But we're talking about a crime here, an alleged crime that occurred in her office. Surely there are processes, or there should be processes in place where you refer these matters up the line, and they didn't do that. And now there's this whole back and forward in the media about whether the Prime Minister's office knew, whether the Prime Minister knew, whether he's not telling the truth about when he knew and how he, and you know, who in his office knew. It's all a bit of a schmozzle, frankly. And I think the real key here is that Brittany has been brave enough to speak out, and people should be grateful to her because she's the one that has the courage to actually stand up and speak out on this. And that in itself, and many other women who are brave about this, that is what generates change. Change in the culture and an understanding of what needs to happen going forward.
Look, as a survivor of sexual assault myself, Peter, I know what it feels like, and the courage that she has exhibited and the presence of mind, I have huge admiration for. And with regard to the Defence Minister saying she didn't report it to the Prime Minister's office because she wanted to protect her, Brittany's privacy, you know what, Minister Reynolds? You could have said to the Prime Minister, there has been a serious sexual allegation of serious sexual assault in my office against a female staffer. You didn't have to name her.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Exactly. You know, don't hide behind, I have a unique perspective on this because I've seen how institutions respond to sexual assault. Men and women.
I hate to say this, Macca. This did occur on the eve of the election.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a week before the election that this occurred. I think, can I just say on that, I think, Macca, you raise a really good point about how institutions behave. If people in or staff in the Prime Minister's office were indeed informed of what happened, and there is evidence now that that is the case because Brittany released a text exchange with a staff member who said, I contacted the PMO, the Prime Minister's office, and told them about this, and they were horrified, and we'll get back to you kind of thing. So it's clear that someone in the Prime Minister's office knew as early as April 2019.
Yeah.
At best, those staff members decided, we won't tell the Prime Minister because we can protect or shield him from this, you know, the plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah. Or at worst, he was informed. And this whole thing has been suppressed for 2 years.
Yeah.
So both are disgraceful as far as I'm concerned and unacceptable. And this is where, whether it comes to these issues around safety in the workplace, sexual assault, racism, all of these things, it's about trying to drag the culture at Parliament, in the political sphere, drag everyone kicking and screaming to change. Mm. And this is a painful process, but it is occurring now, and I'm glad of it, and as you said earlier, glad of the bravery and the courage of women like Brittany who speak up on this.
Yeah, here, here.
Look, unfortunately, Peter, we're out of time. We're going to have you back in a couple of weeks because there's a couple of matters that I'd like to raise you. I'm sorry, we have run out of time.
Macca, we've actually had a switchboard full of messages and positive feedback.
A lot of calls. And,
so we need to get you back to talk more about
and
this.
And also, it's Peter Hitchens' 75th birthday tomorrow. We've got to wish him happy birthday in a minute.
Oh, happy birthday. I'll have the thesaurus ready. I'll be back.
So, look, we'll have you back in a couple of weeks, Peter. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Coming on, Joy. Really appreciate it. And hope you have a nice Saturday, mate.
You too. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.